This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Thank you. Here are Tuesday's closing grain futures quotes from the Chicago Board of Trade. March corn, 388, down 3 1/4. May corn, 396 and a quarter, down 3 1/4. July corn, 403 and 3/4, down 3. March soybeans, 969, down 9 1/2. May soybeans, 974 and a quarter, down 10 and 3/4. July soybeans, 979 and 3/4, down 11. March wheat, 521 and 3/4, down 8. May wheat, 522 and a quarter, down 8. July wheat, 526 and a quarter, down 7 and a quarter. Now time for your cash grain report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. This is Jerry Milberg with the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Tuesday's grain market report. The Illinois country grain prices did end lower on Tuesday afternoon. Technical selling of the Board of Trade weakened grain prices. And in northern and western Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids down 3 cents at 359 to 377. Soybean bids mostly 6 to 9 lower at 917 to 967. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids down 3 cents at 353 to 383. Soybean bids 5 to 10 lower, ranging from 946 to 974. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were 3 cents lower at 364 to 387. Soybean bids down 10 cents at 948 to 979. And the wheat bids dropped 8 cents on Tuesday at 433 to 494. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids were 7 to 10 lower at 975 to 989. Basis ended steady to 3 cents stronger at 6 to 20 over the March. Hypro 48% soybean meal on a truck basis offered at $346.90 to $358.90 per ton, down $2.70, with basis steady ranging from 20 to 32 over the March. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids 1 to 3 lower at $389 to $395, with basis steady to 2 cents stronger at 1 to 7 over the March. Illinois river barge loading elevators quoted producer corn bids 2 to 4 lower at 380 to 388, and with basis mixed range from 8 under to option the March. Soybeans down 6 to 11 cents at 972 to 990, with basis ending mixed at 3 to 21 over the March. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators place their producer corn bids 7 cents lower at 401 to 402. These same elevators dropped their soybean prices by 11 to 14 cents, with quotations at 10.01 to 10.07. Soft wheat down 8 at 5.22 to 5.34, and the Milo ended 3 to 4 lower at 4.48 to 4.63. Contract bids to producers for new crop delivered grain in northern and western Illinois. Country elevator bids to producers in those regions for new crop corn range from $3.69 to $3.89. Soybean bids range from an even $9 up to $9.14. In central Illinois, new crop corn bids range from $3.73 to $3.89. Soybean bids at $9.16 to $9.32. In the southern part of the state, new crop corn bids range from $3.75 to $3.89. New crop soybean bids at $9 up to $9.29. And wheat bids for June-July delivery in southern Illinois, those bids range from $4.80 up to $5.14. That completes our country grain report for Tuesday. This is Jerry Milberg with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And here are Tuesday's closing livestock futures quotes from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. February live cattle, 159.10, up 65 cents. April live cattle, 153.77, up 12 cents. June live cattle, 145.92, down 15 cents. March feeder cattle, 202.02, down $1.60. April feeder cattle, 202, down $1.27. May feeder cattle, 201.80, down $1.42. February lean hogs, 61.50, up 22 cents. April lean hogs, 66.50, down 25 cents. May lean hogs, 76.07, no change. Now time for your cash livestock report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. This is Bob Reese with the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Tuesday the 10th afternoon livestock report. Starting with the National Daily Direct Hog Report, calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass traded $1.06 lower in the range of $51 to $60, with the weighted average carcass price at $58.54. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report, slaughter sows are trading mostly steady, with moderate demand for moderate offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows under 400 pounds were 28 to 35, 4 to 5 weights 32 to 38, 5 to 6 weights 34 to 39, and 6 weights and up 36 to 41. On the Illinois Direct Hog Trade, barrels and gilts at country buying points were trading steady to a dollar lower, with moderate demand for moderate offerings, ranging from $40 to $43. From the National Daily Pork FOB Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts were established with 412 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was $72.54, and that was $1.16 lower. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses were trading mixed. Choice carcasses were $238.43, that was 5 cents lower, with select carcasses at $233.56, that was $1.26 higher. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated at 109,000, that compared to 112,000 last week and 112,000 a year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 435,000. That compared to 433,000 last week and 417,000 a year ago. Now for the opening report from the Shelbyville Livestock Auction. They had receipts of 468 head. And compared to last week, steers and heifers were $3 higher. Holstein steers were $2 higher. Starting with the choice slaughter steers, they ranged in price from $158 to $167. And select and choice 155 to 158. Choice slaughter Holstein steers 150 to 157.50. And choice slaughter heifers 159 to 163.50. That concludes our report. I'm Bob Reese with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
A lawsuit on country of origin labeling filed by the multinational meatpacking industry and their allies to try and stop the U.S. Department of Agriculture from implementing COOL was dismissed in the U.S. District Court for the District of Columbia on Monday. Last week, a Canadian delegation visited Washington, D.C., which National Farmers Union President Roger Johnson calls a last act of desperation. The trip came after the release of a study by Auburn University professor Robert Taylor showing allegations that COOL depressed Canadian cattle prices were false and that COOL had no negative impacts on imports of slaughtered cattle. NFU urges members of Congress to stand by COOL and urges Canadians to allow the World Trade Organization to consider the new study and total body of information to arrive at a decision on its own. Johnson says the dismissal of the lawsuit is a clear, indisputable win for American consumers and producers, and if the U.S. courts are any indication, American consumers will finally be permitted to know where their food comes from without intervention from America's chief trade competitors and their multinational allies. The largest annual agricultural exposition of its kind began on Tuesday. The World Ag Expo kicked off its 48th annual show with more than 1,500 exhibitors on 2.6 million square feet of showgrounds in Tulare, California. More than 35 seminars will be presented by professionals in the ag industry on beef, dairy, hay and forage, international trade, irrigation, and other general agriculture topics. For more information on the 2015 World Ag Expo, you can visit worldagexpo.org. For a look at this week's grain markets, I spoke with market analyst for Water Street Solutions, Arlen Suderman.
Well, it's interesting that after a number of months of pretty much ignoring the outside markets, the grains are paying a lot of attention to them now, specifically the dollar and crude oil. And as crude oil goes up, that tends to be supportive of the broader commodity complex, including the grains. As it goes down, and then it tends to pressure them. As the dollar goes up, then we see pressure on the grains. As the dollar goes down, then we see money coming into the grain and oil seeds. So, but generally trading with crude oil in inverse of the dollar. Now, those factors are being driven by several other factors. Number one of that, which is Greece and the possibility that Greece may end up defaulting on its debt here in a few weeks. maybe sooner, maybe later. There's mixed messages on that. They're meeting, have a critical meeting with other European leaders in Brussels to try to work out some terms of maybe a six-month extension of financing Greece for another 6 months, and that would tend to be supportive of the euro and tend to weaken the dollar if that were to occur. So that's something that's certainly playing into the markets as well. We also have the biggest oil worker strike since 1980 influencing the energy sector. So a lot of different factors external to grain and oil seeds. Now, as we look specifically at grain and oil seed fundamentals, we're seeing an advancing harvest in South America, generally positive expectations for the size of South American crop. Maybe we pared back Brazil's production a little bit, but what we've lost in Brazil, we've gained in Argentina. So general expectations are increasing world supplies. And, of course, all of that will be updated in USDA's crop report. The February report tends to be a very quiet type of report, not much of any significant changes. I guess that's what makes them vulnerable to surprises when they do happen. The primary focus of the report should be on South American production estimates to see if USDA makes any adjustments to the size of corn and soybean crops in Argentina and Brazil.
All right, very good. And that, of course, will have an influence, especially when America gets going on their planting and getting ready for their growing season.
Well, absolutely. Once we get past this report, of course, we do have the March crop report coming up in early March. But the primary focus is going to be, again, on planting intentions and the big USDA planting intention survey that takes place right around March 1st. And so the market's working on, even now, narrowing the gap between corn and soybeans, trying to make sure we get enough corn acres while discouraging soybean production. And that's one of the goals that it's working on right now is the year's revenue insurance guarantees are being set during the month of February. There's also some focus on next week's USDA Outlook Forum conference held every year. USDA, in fact, will be releasing ahead of that its 10-year baseline projections. Looking at the next 10 years, there'll be a lot of focus on that. I think it's unfounded. Those 10-year projections have never really been creative at revealing any type of new trends or anything. USDA economists simply tend to not see very far in the future. I tend to look at the next year, and that's about it. But there'll be a lot of focus on it when the data is released on Thursday, and again, the speeches that are given at the Outlook Forum next week on Thursday and Friday.
Suderman also gave his insights on this week's livestock markets.
If we look at the livestock markets, well, first of all, let's start in the pork complex. We're seeing a little bit of a bounce now in the lean hogs, but overall, this is seen as nothing more than a technical bounce at this point as the February contract goes into expiration, tries to converge with the cash index. The futures had actually traded to a discount to the cash index, and so they need to come together ahead of expiration at the end of the week. Overall, this is a market that's plagued by good demand, but even bigger supplies, if I could say it that way, as the number of slaughter-ready hogs continues to increase and at weights that are above year-goal levels, the supply of pork is increasing, and the port workers slowdown on the West Coast has really impacted pork export sales and shipments at this point, and so that's backing up the supplies as well. When we look at the beef sector, overall beef continues to struggle. We've seen some good bounces after seeing a reversal on the charts on Thursday, follow-through buying on Friday and Monday, a little bit of a pullback now and a little bit of consolidation. But overall, this is a market where we're starting to slow down the slaughter once again, starting to tighten up the box beef supplies once again. That should stabilize those prices, and that should start supporting additional higher cash prices for this week. Last week, traders were surprised to see a larger-than-expected volume of cattle on the negotiated market, primarily in the central and northern feedlot belt, trading for 160 to 162.5 on a live basis and up to 255 on a dress basis. And as I said, the general thinking is if we can firm up the box beef prices and maintain the movement this week, that we could actually see a little bit higher cash by the end of the week.
The hog population in the U.S. is rebounding from the PED virus more quickly than anticipated. Suderman says this would mean good news for pork producers if not for the port issues on the West Coast.
I frankly was surprised at the strength of pork exports until the port slowdown really started to affect it. The strong dollar would have been expected to have been a greater factor. But the industry is doing a great job of trying to win back some of that business we lost because of the PED virus. I think that eventually we will see that business come back. The problem is that the supply is increasing faster than the demand, and with corn prices expected to remain relatively cheap, I would anticipate that that's going to continue to be the case. The hog herd continues to expand at a rapid pace. We'll get the next update from USDA in late March, but overall the expectation is that we're going to continue to expand this hog herd perhaps a little bit faster than what we're able to get rid of it.
Although the hog population is rebounding quickly, the cattle herd is, of course, taking a bit longer to come back from its record low numbers.
It's going to take a while to rebuild the cow herd. The latest cattle inventory report that we received did show faster expansion of the cattle herd than what was expected, but still it's going to take many years to get back to where we were after the cow herd dropped to its lowest levels in more than six decades. The actual supply of slaughter-ready cattle now is probably as tight as it's been in modern-day history. Packers have been able to manage that fairly well, buying cattle and putting them back on feed to add some beef. We saw a big jump in the slaughter weights last week, showing some of those cattle that have been put on, back on feed, adding some total beef to the supply situation. So it's going to take some time. Probably best positioned, though, to grab that market share will be the pork industry.
Again, that was market analyst for Water Street Solutions, Arlen Suderman. That's all for this morning's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besh. Thanks for tuning in.